الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
توفيره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة، خلق منها زوجها، وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so I ask the praise in Allah سبحانه وتعالى, seeking his aid and testifying that there's none that deserves to be worshipped in reality except Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that sent the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to mankind, with guidance and clarity. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm and be from those who follow his way sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is from the virtues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind that he has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also from the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's given to mankind, and the favors that he's given to mankind, is the preservation of the statements of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his actions and his acknowledgments. The statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been preserved by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, we have a chain of narration from the book to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The book of hadith, or statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book directly straight to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through chains, through the companions and the students of the companions and the students and the students of the companions. There is no break in that chain. And this is what the Deen of Al-Islam distinguishes from other religions. As we find in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, which is in the Injil, the Bible, there is a chain missing between them and the messenger Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus. There is a chain missing, hundreds of years between them. And this is what the Christian, or predominantly the Catholic religion, is based upon. But as for the Deen of Al-Islam, the deen that Abraham was upon, Ibrahim, and the religion that Moses was upon, and the religion that Jesus was upon, and the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. This is the deen of Al-Islam, pure, clear, preserved, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. إِنَّ نَحْنَ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرُ إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظِينَ. Verily, we have revealed the Quran and the Sunnah, the dhikr. The Quran and the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actions and is acknowledge, and we will preserve it. So this is one of the virtues of this ummah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favours upon us, that we have the deen of al-Islam, this pure religion, which is the deen of a tawheed, which is the call of all of the messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ إِمَّةِ رَسُولَهُ أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We have sent to every nation a messenger, telling them to worship Allah alone and stay away from false deities. Telling them to worship Allah alone. Not worshipping man, not worshipping stones, not worshipping idols. Rather worship the creation, the creator of the man, and the creator of the stone, and the creator of everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship him alone. And follow the commandments and prohibitions that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has commanded us and favored us with. So this lesson that we're doing today, ya ikhwa, is a testament to this preservation of the deen of al-Islam. And that is the preservation of the sunnah and the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the books of hadith, the books that have been compiled by the scholars after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gathering his statements and actions and so forth, scrutinizing the chains to make sure that there aren't any liars or anybody who could introduce new statements and so forth in the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we preserve strict adherence. And from that is his book that we're doing today, and that is the compilation of the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih and in Sunan Ibn Majah. In Sunan Ibn Majah, the Muqaddimah, the introduction of this book, is encouraging people to follow the Sunnah and follow the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the first chapter, and that is Bab Ittiba Sunnah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the chapter of following the Sunnah and adhering to the way, to the methodology, to the statements, actions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And under this title heading, there are three narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are mentioned. But before we go into these three narrations, which we're going to do today in our lesson, gathering today, what I'd like to do with my beloved brothers from the Sunnah, my beloved Ikhwa, what I want to do is go through some of the virtues of following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of the virtues of following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is mentioned in the Quran. We're going to mention seven or so virtues. Well, there are many virtues, but we're going to mention seven. In Allah Ta'ala, we mention seven because of time. But rather, there are many, many virtues of following the Sunnah and the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the first issue we're going to deal with in today's lesson, when we're discussing ittiba sunnah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to discuss and mention some of the virtues of doing this. The first one, أن طاعته طاعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طاعة لله. And that is that from the first virtue is by obeying and following the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, by obeying the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are obeying Allah because Allah sent him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his desires, Muhammad doesn't speak from his desires. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, it's a revelation revealed to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, مَن يَطِعُ الرَّسُولُ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeys the messenger, verily has obeyed Allah. So from the virtues of following the sunnah is that you are obeying Allah by doing that. By following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are obeying your creator. You are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second virtue is ta'atuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in arkan al-iman. And following and obeying the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows the completion of iman and is from the pillars of one's iman. One of those things that an individual needs to have to keep the house sturdy, because we have a house and every house that is sturdy has pillars. And from the pillars of this house, and that is the house we want to call your iman, your belief, is following the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, by your Lord, so he swore, by your Lord, none of you believe, they will never believe. By your Lord, they will never believe until they take for you a judge between them. Until they make you a judge between them. And making him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge between them is them following his way, following his sunnah. فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. In those affairs in which they differ. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And they don't have no doubt, no problem, and no haughtiness, arrogance regarding that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has legislated, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit fully. So the person, let you know, the person to perfect their iman and perfect their belief, they follow the sunnah, is from following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third virtue or benefit of following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ta'atuhu sababu fi hidayah. And that is that by following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you gain guidance. وَإِن تَطِيعُهُ تَهْتَدُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, verse number 54, if you obey him and if you follow him, you will be guided. If you follow him, Allah is telling us, the creator of mankind, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has told us that if you follow the messenger, if you all follow the messenger, you will all be guided. If you all follow the messenger, you will all be guided. So therefore, from the virtues of following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you attain guidance. You attain guidance. And the fourth is by following ta'atuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sababun fi hasulil rahmah. And that from the virtues of following the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that it is a means for you to attain mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a way for you to attain mercy. Al-Husul al-Rahmah. To attain mercy. And it's that special mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the good, pious individuals from his ibad. And that is that specific mercy that he gives to those who obey him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the individual will attain this mercy. There's a general mercy, and that is Allah's mercy. Allah gives us water, the rain. Allah gives us the heat, the sun. Allah gives us air. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a general mercy for all of mankind. Whether you are believing, disbelieving, pious or wretched, you have attained, you are experiencing this mercy from Allah. But there is a specific mercy, a rahmah that is khasa. There is a specific mercy, and that is for those who obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by following the sunnah. of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is a means to attain this mercy. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Obey Allah and the Messenger. Obey Allah and the Messenger. So you may attain mercy. So you may receive mercy. So by obeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following him, you will achieve mercy. Get mercy, that specific mercy for those who are obedient to Allah. And that is in Surah Al-Ali Imran, verse number 132. As for the fifth virtue of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّ طَاعَتُهُ تَجْمَلَ الْمُطِيعِ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. And that is that the one that obeys and follows him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he will be from amongst those who are with the prophets, the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, the martyrs and the pious ones, the Salihin. You'll be amongst these people. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى من يطيع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. And that is in Surah Al-Nisa, verse 69, where Allah, verse number 69, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then they will be with those who Allah has given his blessings. They will be with those who Allah has bestowed his blessings upon, from the Nabiyeen, from the prophets and the truthful ones, the martyrs, the Salihin, the pious ones. And what a beautiful companionship that will be, to be in the gathering and to be amongst these individuals. And that is the Siddiq, the Nabiyeen, or Siddiqeen, or Shuhada, or Salihin. Naam, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And that is a virtue from Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And Allah is sufficiently knowing all things. So therefore, from the virtues of سَلَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ, from following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obeying him, is that you will be amongst with those the Nabiyeen, the Prophets, the Siddiqeen, and the Shuhada, and the Salihin, those people who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and followed the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the sixth virtue, we mentioned this as the last one because of time. The sixth, for all to mention two more inshallah, bismillah. The sixth virtue and favors of virtues of following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that اتباعه علامة حب العبد لربه والسبب في حب الله لعبده. And that is that following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of the individual truly loving Allah. By following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a sign that you love Allah, that you love your and love Allah. And with it is a means to attain the love of Allah. It's a means for Allah to love you. By following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a sign that you love Allah. And it's also a means for you to attain the love of Allah. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 31, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Say, O Muhammad. Allah is telling Muhammad to say to them, those who claim to love Allah, those who claim to love Allah, say, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. So from the virtues of following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the individual is a sign that he loves Allah. It's a sign that she loves Allah, and likewise, it's a means for them to attain the love of Allah. As for the seventh, from the many virtues of following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that ittiba'ahu sabab fi maghfirat al-dhunub, and that is that by following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a means for one's sins to be forgiven. By following the way of the Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatim al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the Prophet. There is no Prophet after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the seal of the Prophets. By following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a means to attain the forgiveness for one's sins. Because we all make error, we all sin. Kullu bin Adam khatta, wa kullu khayru khatta'in al-tawwabun. That all of the children of Adam in Hadith, is mentioned in Hadith al-Qudsi, all of the children of Adam, all of us, we make mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent. And from the means for one sins to be forgiven is by following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is taken from the previous verse, point number six that we mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 31. Well, Allah says, "In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum." Say, O Muhammad, to those who claim to love Allah, if you love Allah, then follow me, and you follow the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins, and forgive you your sins. So this is a virtue of following the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that one sin will be forgiven. In that one sin will be forgiven. After that, so seven virtues, from the many virtues of following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this shows us the importance of this chapter. This point, this first initial point of the virtues of the Messenger following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us the virtue and the importance of this chapter. It shows the fiqh of Al-Alama, Al-Imam, Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala. It shows the understanding and the knowledge of the compiler of this hadith of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the first bath was ittiba sunnah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is a chapter of following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number two is we're going to read from three of the narrations that is mentioned in this chapter. And the first is an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أمرتكم به فخذوا وما نهيتكم عنه فانتهوا. نعم. He said, and Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, on Abi Hurairah, who's from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was from those who were frequent narrators of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As was mentioned in many lessons, he narrated approximately 5,374 narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narrator, Abi Hurairah, he narrated 5,374 narrations of on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was in a space of a couple of years. So he was very enthusiastic in seeking knowledge, so he would take and listen to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and write down these narrations and the quotes and statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa radiyallahu ta'ala an Abi Hurairah. Na'am, ameen. And he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abi Hurairah, the narrator of this hadith, he had many students. He had about 800 students. And he was from the Mukhirin. And he was from those, from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who narrated plentifully and from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also, Abu Hurairah, as the ulama have mentioned in the books of hadith, he was from the medium or the second level of the companions of the Messenger, the first level of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that gave fatwas, that gave were answering questions and gave rulings to the people. There were seven from the companions who were known to do this, from the utmost knowledgeable of the companions. He was from the second batch of companions. He was from the second level or batch of the companions to give fatwa and to give rulings to certain affairs when asked as it relates to the deen of al-Islam, as it relates to marriage, as it relates to divorce, as it relates to food, as it relates to affairs of the religion. Naam. And that's Abu Huraira. And he's from that second level because of his knowledge and because he was a strong individual as it relates to his seeking of his knowledge and sticking firm to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to benefit from him. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whatever I order you to do, then do it. And whatever I prohibit you from doing, then stay away from it. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever I command you to do, then do it. فَخُذُوا. And whatever I prohibit you from doing, then stay away from it. And this is a proof to show the importance of following the Messenger and the obligation of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is, and Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he authenticated this hadith, and it is sahih. It is authentic. It is sahih. Being that this is the first hadith that is considered an authentic hadith in this book, sahih, we would define the meaning of sahih as it relates to the scholars of hadith. Because the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been preserved because of the strict conditions that the scholars of hadith have placed in order to preserve the authenticity of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the highest level of authenticity is authentic hadith or sahih hadith. And the definition of a sahih hadith is مَتَّصَلَ إِسْنَادُهُ بِنَقْلٍ عَادِلٍ أَنْ ضَابِتٍ أَنْ مِثْلِهِ إِلَى مُنْتَهَاهُ وَلَا يَكُونُ شَعْبًا وَلَا مُعَلَّلًا مَتَّصَلَ سَنَدُهُ بِنَقْلٍ عَادِلٍ أَنْ عَادِلٍ أَنْ ضَابِتٍ إِلَى مُنْتَهَاهُ وَلَا يَكُونُ شَابًا وَلَا مُعَلَّلًا. And that is the definition that Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala defined, and that is that which is in, that is number one, its chain is connected. Its chain is connected, meaning that everyone in that chain met one another, and it is understood that they met one another and they related hadith to one another, and it's connected and it's not broken, like we mentioned regarding the Injil and the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. The narration is not muttasil, it's not connected. There is a gap between Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, and Matthew, Mark, Luke and John for the Gospels. So the condition of an accepted narration, the first one is that it is connected. And the second is that the narrators and the individuals who are found in the chain are trustworthy individuals. They are trustworthy and known to be trustworthy individuals as it relates to their etiquette, their well-being and so forth, and their conduct. They are known to be trustworthy. That's the second condition. And the third condition is a dabit, and that is that they are precise. Meaning that when they narrate, they narrate exactly what they heard. Or when they read a narration in the book, they narrate exactly what they have read, and they preserve their books where the narrations are written. This is a dabit, the one that is precise. So the first is that it's connected without any gaps. The second is that the narrators are trustworthy. The third بعد الضابط، ضابط الصدر وضابط ضبط الصدر وضبط الكتاب. ضبط الصدر meaning that the precise when they have to relay the narration of my heart. And ضبط الكتاب is that they, as some of the scholars, wrote the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in a book, meaning that they preserved their book. They preserved their book and didn't allow anything to get, or they didn't lose their book or misplace their book with the narrations and so forth. So they're precise. So they are precise. And the fourth condition is that it's not shad. That is not shad. And it's not, they're not odd. Meaning that the definition of shad, according to the ulama of hadith, is مخالفه المقبول لمن هو اوثق منه. مخالفه المقبول لمن هو اوثق منه. And that is, even if a narrator is trustworthy, even if a narrator is precise, but he opposes someone that is more precise, or he opposes somebody who is more trustworthy than him, this is considered shadh. This is considered odd. Because the person who is much more trustworthy than that individual and much more precise than that individual, narration will be taken into account. And he has opposed the person who is, or group of people who are more authentic in their transmission of the narration. This is shadh. So an authentic hadith must be devoid of this situation. Meaning that the narrator is not narrating a narration that is in opposition to one of those that are more precise and more trustworthy than him. وَلَا يَكُونُ شَابًا وَلَا مُعَلَّلًا. And the fifth condition is that it's not has any عِلَّ خَفِيَّة. It doesn't have any عِلَّ خَفِيَّة. And that is any hidden discrepancy. Any hidden discrepancy. And from the illa khafiyya, some of the ulama have mentioned, is tadlif, is salamakumullah. And for example, the individual, he narrated a narration, but he lived maybe at the time of salamakumullah, of the other narrator, but he never met him. He lived in the same time as a narrator, but he never met him. And likewise, other types of discrepancies that are very subtle, but the ulama of hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given them the ilm and the knowledge and the precision to look through these affairs and diminish any type of discrepancies that could be found. So if these five conditions are met, then the hadith is sahih. So this hadith is sahih. مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَخُذُهُ وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. What I give you or command you to do, then do it. And what I prohibit you from doing, then stay away. The second hadith is, and again, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوني ما تركتكم فإنما حلك من كان قبلكم بسؤالهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم فإذا أمرتكم بشيء فخذوا منه ما استطعتم وإذا نهيتكم عن شيء فانتهوا. أبي هريرة again, he said رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave me with that which I've left you with. And don't ask about that which I've left you with. Because verily, those who were before you were destroyed because of their excessive questions and unnecessary questions and their opposition to their prophet. For those before you, before this ummah, were destroyed and perished. Why? Because of their excessive and unnecessary questioning and their opposing their prophets. Opposing Isa, opposing Jesus, opposing Abraham, opposing Musa, Shu'aib, the prophets. They opposed them. And that's why they were destroyed. فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ فَذَرْتُمْ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah. If he commands you with an affair, then do it as much as you're able to do. And if he prohibits you from doing a thing or from an affair, then leave it. Then leave it. And this hadith is sahih. And this hadith is authentic. We're going to deal with this hadith with a few minor points, or simple points rather, with a few simple points. The first point as it relates to this hadith is that this is mentioned in Ibn Majah, but it's also recorded in Sahih Bukhari. This hadith is also recorded, this hadith is mutafakun alayh. This hadith is mutafakun alayh, which means it's recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, and Bukhari and Muslim have recorded this hadith with the same text and the same narration. And that is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So it's mutafakun alayh. But this is one of those narrations in the Sunan of Ibn Majah that you find in Sahih Bukhari, and you find it in Sahih Muslim. That's point number one. Point number two is this hadith has a story behind it. And that is that this narration, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this, and he mentions that that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an individual came to him, and he asked the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding Hajj. وقد ذكر مسلم المسلم مثال فقال عن أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أيها الناس قد فرض الله عليكم الحج فحجوا فقال رجل أكل عام يا رسول الله فسكت حتى قالها ثلاثة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولما استطعتم ثم قال ذروني ما تركتكم فإنما هلك من كان قبلكم بسؤالهم Al-Hadith. Imam Muslim mentions the story behind this narration, and you could say that's Bab al-Nuzul, or the reason why this hadith came about, and that is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a khutbah, he was given a sermon. Abu Hurairah said that khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger gave us a sermon, and he said, O mankind, Allah has made obligatory upon you Hajj. So do Hajj. The Messenger of Allah said, O mankind, Allah has made obligatory faradallahu alaykum al-hajj hajj. Allah has made Hajj obligatory upon you, so perform Hajj. And then a man said, Akul amin ya Rasulullah, do we do it every year? And he's asked the question, do we do it every year? And then the Messenger kept quiet until the individual kept on asking and asking and asking. He asked three times. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I was to say yes, it will become obligatory upon you. And you wouldn't be able to do it every year. And then he said, Daruni, so leave me, and leave me from your excessive questions. Leave me from your excessive questions. Daruni. And in another narration, Da'uni, as Bukhari mentions, Da'ni, and Da'uni, leave me, Daruni, leave me, ma taraktukum, that which I've told you. And in this instance, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do Hajj. For us, he said, do Hajj, so do Hajj. That's what do I do it every year, and so forth. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَرُونِي لِيدْنِي مَا تَرَبْتُكُمْ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلُكُمْ بِسُؤَالِهِمْ. So leave me that which I've told you, I've given you the ruling. Don't leave me free from your questions. Huh? Because verily, those before you were destroyed because of their excessive questioning. Because of their excessive questioning and their opposition to the prophets, the messengers. So if I command you something, just do it. And in this instance, it was Hajj. So do it according to your ability. And if I tell you not to do anything, fada'u, then leave it. So here, my dear beloved brothers, this is the reason why this hadith came about, that Ibn Majah mentions, and it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and that is an individual asking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Hajj after he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the people to do Hajj, so accepted question. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuked him and said that this is, in fact, this questioning, this excessive questioning is that which has destroyed those from before you, those before you, and the opposition to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Messenger the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we can go to point number three, and that is regarding questioning. There are two types of questioning as it relates to this hadith. There are two types of questioning as it relates to this hadith. And this is mentioned by Al-Baghawi from the ulama of the past, in the fourth generation, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, في شرح السنة, in شرح السنة, he said, المسائل على وجهين. When you're asking questions, there are two aspects, or two types. Sorry. And that is, أحدهما ما كان على وجه المعلم لما يحتاج إليه من أمر الدين فهو جائز. And he said that this, the first question is that question where an individual asks the question in order to get clarity as it relates to their religion. They need the answer. They need the answer as it relates to their religion. For example, it relates to issues of Salah, the rulings of Salah, and the rulings of giving zakat and giving charity and so forth. They need this. And this is taken from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَّلُوا أَحْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَتَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of dhikr. Ask the scholars if you do not know. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Yani, and the people of knowledge will give you the answers according to the book of Allah, according to the Quran, proofs from the Quran, and proofs from the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the companions, رَبِّي لَوْ تَعْلَمُ. Now, and وَعَلَ هَذَا تَتْنَزَّلْ أَسْلَةُ الصُّحَابَةَ and Al-Anfar. And that which comes under this category is the questions of the companions, the students of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask him. He used to ask him, يسألونك عن الأنفار, يسألونك عن الأهلة, يسألونك عن المحيط. They ask you about menstruation, the ruling pertaining to it. They ask you as it relates to the crescent. They ask you the moon, they ask you regarding it. So this type of questioning is permissible, and it's not intended in this hadith. The second type of questioning, مَا كَانَ عَلَى وَجِهِ تَعَنُّتْ مَا كَانَ عَلَى وَجِهِ تَعَنُّتْ وَتَكَلُّهْ وَهُوَ الْمُرَادُ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. And that is that question in which is excessive, and there's extremity linked to that question, and there is philosophy linked to that question, and there is rhetoric linked to that question. And this is that which is intended in this hadith. And that takes us to the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رَبِّي اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَنْهُ, where he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِعِلْمِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْبَدْ فَإِنَّ قَبْلَهُ بِذَهَابِ أَهْلِهِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ فَلَا يَدْرِي أَحَدُكُمْ مَتَى يَفْتَقِرُ إِلَيْهِ سَتَجِدُونَ أَقْوَامًا يَدَّعُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَتَّبِعُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فنذوه وراء ظهورهم عليكم بالعلم وإياكم والتنطع والتعمق عليكم بالعقيق. He said in a long advice he's giving to the people, the companion, the student of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, upon you is knowledge before it goes away, and it's going away is by the death of those that possess that knowledge, i.e. the scholars. Upon you is knowledge, and take knowledge from them. For verily none of you know when there will be in need of that knowledge. You don't know when you're going to be in need of that knowledge. At the times of weakness, at the times when you're having doubts, that knowledge that you have studied puts you back on track. That knowledge that you have studied aids you in obeying Allah and following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For verily you'll find the people who claim to follow the book of Allah, but rather they place it behind their backs. They're not following it. It's just rhetoric. It's just lip service. But upon you is knowledge, so you can distinguish between those characters and those individuals that are falsely claiming to follow the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَتَنَطُّعْ, and be and stay away from excessive questioning, and stay away from excessive questioning. And asking unnecessary questions. Asking unnecessary questions. An example of an unnecessary question is things that have never happened and things that are not going to happen. Asking questions of things that are not going to happen or things that haven't happened. And that's why Al-Za'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَحْرُمْ عَبْدَهُ بِبَرَكَةِ الْعِلْمِ أَلْقَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ الْمَغَالِيقِ فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَقَلَّ النَّاسِ عِلْمًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَحْرُمْ عَبْدَهُ بِبَرَكَةِ الْعِلْمِ أَلْقَ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ الْمَغَالِيقِ فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَقَلَّ النَّاسِ عِلْمًا. He says, Al-Awza'i, who is from the students of the companions, rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Awza'i, he said, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wants to prevent an individual from attaining the blessings of knowledge, his tongue, the individual's tongue, will be full of excessive and unnecessary questions. His tongue will be full of unnecessary and excessive and unrealistic questions. And then he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ أَقَلَّ النَّاسِ عِلْمًا. And I've rarely seen these individuals, the least of people with knowledge. And they have the minimal amount of knowledge in comparison to the other people. Why? Because of the kasab, the su'al, them asking unnecessary questions that does not increase them in the love of Allah. It doesn't increase them in following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, it brings doubts to their heart. It wastes their time. It's rhetoric. And that's why the philosophers, as Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, said about the philosophers, utu zaka, wa lam yutu zaka. The philosophers, they have been given some type of intellect, but they haven't been given purification, because that which is in their head, that which is in their chest, from knowledge that they, and rhetoric and philosophy that they have achieved and gained, it hasn't purified them. It hasn't purified them. So likewise, the one who asks unnecessary questions, questions that do not affect the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, questions that do not affect the hereafter, questions that do not affect him, increasing him in iman and increasing him in ilm of what he has to do as a worshipper of Allah, these questions will not purify him because he was no benefit. Which is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited it in this hadith. And point number four, I believe it's number four, is that from the benefits of this hadith, number four or five, lost count, from the benefits of this hadith is اِتِنَاءُ الشَّرْ بِمَنْهِيَاتِ فَوْقَ لَإِتِنَاءِهِ بِالْمَأْمُورَاتِ. And that is that this hadith shows how severe the legislation has placed upon doing that which is impermissible. There's been more emphasis on the prohibition of doing that which is impermissible as opposed to doing or fulfilling the commandments. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَخُذُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. With regards to the commandments, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do it according to your ability. But as for the prohibition, وَإِذَا نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَانْتَهُوا. If I prohibit you from an affair, then leave it. So this is an evidence, this shows the evidence, or this is an evidence to show that falling into haram, falling into the impermissible things, is more severe than falling into, or not, that the legislation has placed more emphasis regarding the prohibited things as opposed to the commanded things. Now, and point number five is a Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that هذا من جوامع الكلم وقواعد الإسلام. He said that this hadith is from the comprehensive statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dealing with the principles of the deen, وَيَدْخُلْ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ, and enters in that which is included or incorporated in this hadith is the loss of ruling. And that is taken from the statement of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when I command you to do something, then do that which is you're able to do. And that which is from the ruling that is taken from this is that from the origin of praying, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, to pray 5 times a day. وَاقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and fulfill the prayer. And this fulfillment of the prayer is an important pillar of Al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do this standing. But also, if an individual has not got the ability to stand for some reason, then he sits and prays sitting down. And if he doesn't have the ability to pray sitting down, he prays lying down. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that which is also taken from this hadith. Then do that which he has commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to use the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. And from those also is covering your awrah. For example, when you're praying, you're supposed to cover certain parts of your body. فَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا سَتَعْتُمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, fear Allah as much as you can. You're able to. So in this instance where it's time for prayer and you do not have the ability, or an individual is poor and he doesn't have the ability to cover those parts of the body that needs to be covered, or should be covered, or has to be covered rather, in the prayer, then he covers himself as much as he's able to do based upon this hadith. فَخُذُوا مِنْهُ مَا سَتَعْتُمْ, and follow his commandments in that regard to the best of your ability. And also the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا سَتَعْتُمْ. And now we go to the final hadith, and that is the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله ومن عصاني فقد عصى الله. And we've dealt with this hadith within the other explanations of the other two narrations. And that is Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه. He said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever obeys me, then has obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys me, then has disobeyed Allah. And that is further emphasis of following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we've mentioned previously, that following the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because verily he's the one who sent him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌّ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his desires, but is a revelation revealed to him. Another point of additional benefit, this hadith is sahih. This hadith is authentic. As we mentioned, the conditions of an authentic hadith, and this hadith has met those conditions. And it is, if you can note, one of the narrations which are only mentioned in Ibn Majah and not in the rest of the books of hadith from the Kutub al-Sittah. The 6 most well-known and renowned compilations of the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith here is only in Ibn Majah and it's not in the rest. هُوَ مِنْ إِنْفِرَادْ مَنْ فَرَدَ بِهِ وَمِنْ مَنْ فَرَدَ بِهِ Ibn Majah and Al-Kutub al-Sittah. It's from those narrations that he himself has compiled in the book that's not mentioned in the other books of hadith. So here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these 3 narrations, has commanded us to follow his sunnah and follow his way. We've mentioned the virtues of following his way and the importance and the reward of following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be those who adhere to the sunnah and to stick to the sunnah, the mawla of our teeth, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bi sunnati وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين من بعدي عبد علي بن نواجد. Upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the خلفاء الراشدين after me, and stick firm to it like the molar in your teeth. Stick firm like you cling onto the molar of your teeth, you chew. Now stick firm to the sunnah likewise. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be from those who are firm and steadfast upon the sunnah. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خير أستاذ ويس. We have one question here.
بارك الله فيكم
وإياكم.